I trust that's the reason we have come this morning to seek his face. The good thing is he can do all things for us. We can get just as close to God as we want to get. And we can get as far away as we want to get. But my desire is to be close to Jesus Christ. Everybody said amen? Amen. Wonderful, wonderful spirit this morning. Amen. We appreciate God's goodness and God's faithfulness to all of us. Bring us down to this good hour this morning. You know, this is a very important service. We never know. We probably will never, ever gather again like this on a Sunday morning. We don't know what the tomorrows will bring, do we? For any of us, young or old. And so it just behooves us when we come together in a station like this that we come to seek the face of God. I want to know my worst down here so I can be prepared to go up there. Amen. Well, thank you so much for inviting wife and I to come down here. We've enjoyed it. We've loved that little trailer over there. I don't have to chase her very far over there. And it's just been good accommodations and we've just loved it so much. You've been beautiful people to preach to. Been easy to preach every time. And we just appreciate what God has done for you and what God is doing for you and what God is going to do for you. Amen? Do you expect God to do something good for you? Amen. Sometimes he surprises us and does things for us when we didn't even ask for it. But we need to ask, do we not? Ask God to help us. Amen. Thank you so much for that wonderful offering. Far, far more than what I ever deserve. We appreciate it very, very much. And I promise you, it will not be used on coffee or cigarettes. Oh, I better forget that. My wife likes coffee. I forgot. It'll be used for good things. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's been good also to meet your pastor's family. You have a lovely pastor family. They're fine, first-class people, and we appreciate them. Brother Ziegler has been one of my friends ever since Union Bible College days. As he mentioned last night, my oldest daughter was in class with them, and she's just about as crazy as he is. And so, boy, that put a strange look on his face, but amen. We appreciate them and appreciate what God's done for them and how God has used them. Young people, let God use you. Children, let God use you. Oh, I loved it when the children were testifying. Some of us older folks ought to take notice to that. God wants you and I to testify. When we forget, when we quit testifying, it's not long until we lose our victory. Amen? You say, oh, no, wait a minute. That's right. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen? Some people say, well, I don't have a great big story to tell. Well, you don't have to have a big story. You have a real story because it's yours. And you need to be telling people what your story is. By the grace of God, we're only where we are because of God's wonderful love and grace. Everybody said amen. You've been standing for a while. Stand for one verse of scripture. I mean sitting for a while. Or should I say you will be sitting for a while? No. The theme of the Bible. One verse of scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, God, for your love to send your Son to die on the cross for us. Thank you, Lord, for your leadership. Thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to come and walk with us day by day. And lead us and guide us and direct us and help us in making choices for you. We thank you for it. And Lord, if there's ever been a preacher that needs you, I need you this morning, Lord. There's no way in the world that I could ever preach about the love of God unless you help me. And so we ask, Lord, that you would just touch us this morning. Make our mind clear. We ask that you would touch our hearts. That the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, would be locked in within the four walls of this church this morning as we look into your word. Holy Spirit, do your office work this morning. Open our hearts and our ears and our eyes to the truth of God, to this little verse of Scripture that means all of the world. Help us, we ask, and Jesus will forever praise you and honor you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. There is no greater summary of God's love than right here in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We've heard that since we were just little kids, have we not? We have heard it preached by great preachers, much greater. Anybody's a greater preacher than I am. But it's not the preacher, it's the Holy Spirit that helps us. And to bring forth the truth to us today about God's amazing and abundant love. It was through this verse which D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, the founder of the Moody Church, learned to appreciate the greatness of God's love. You see, Mr. Moody had been in Britain and in the early days of his ministry, and there he met a young man, a young preacher by the name of Henry Morehouse. And one day Morehouse said to Moody, I'm thinking about coming to America. And Moody said, well, if you ever come to Chicago, come down to my church and I'll let you preach. Brother Moody was trying to be kind and invite a young man to come and preach. When he got back one day, he had a telegram and it read like this. I'm in New York. I'm coming to Chicago on Sunday. D.L. Moody said, he said to his wife, oh, what have I gotten myself into? Here's a young preacher. I don't know what he'll have to say. And here I've promised to let him preach in my church. What will I do? Well, he said to her and the leaders of the church, I'm going to let him preach. I give him my word. I'm going to let him preach. And said, you put him up to preach. And said, if he does well, let him preach more. And so the first Sunday, Henry Morehouse got up to preach from this very text. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. D.L. Moody came back. The first thing he said to his wife, how did the young preacher do? Oh, she said, he's a better preacher than you. Said he preached 7 days on the very same subject of God's love. He told the sinner man that God loved him. Oh, it's a wonderful thing this morning to know that God not only loves a sinner, but he loves every one of us this morning. There's no way that we could go through the whole scope of the love of God. We can't comprehend his love, but there's a few points this morning that I would like for us to look about the love of God. First of all, the love of God is unconditional. Whew. He so loved the world. Now, the Greek word for the world is defined as an ungodly multitude, the whole mass of men alienated of God and therefore hostile to the cause of Christ. That is the kind of love that God gave to this world, a love like that. It doesn't say that God loved all the good guys or that God loved all the Jews or God loved all the saints, but it says, for God so loved the whole world. The love should, God's love of that world only heightens in the mystery of this love. If we're to imagine a pristine world, fresh from the hand of the Creator, uninfected by evil, we can more easily comprehend God's desire to save it. But a wayward world, which not only failed to recognize his Maker, John said the world knew him not, but openly hated his reproach. And also Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Would that be a poor choice of love? I would think so. You know what? It's awful hard for us to love people that don't love us. Come on now. It's awful hard sometimes for us to love our enemies, those that speak evil of us and those that do bad things for us. And the only way that we can is because of the love of God in our heart. Thank God for his love. So God's love clearly is not based on spiritual condition or moral predestination. Rather than see here that God's love for mankind is universal and it's unconditional. Now listen, only the Christian dare to proclaim God's love is unconditional. An unconditional love that we call grace. Aren't you glad for the grace of God this morning? Where would we be today if it wasn't for his grace and his love? Not one of us would ever make it without the grace of God. And that's the reason, folks, that we should share our grace with others. And that's the reason we should be more graceful to others. Because God's grace is wonderful to us. Christians can boldly proclaim that grace really has precious little to do with us, our inner resolve, or the lack of our inner resolve. Rather, grace is all about God, and God freely given to us the gift of forgiveness, mercy, and love. God's grace, or God's love, for us is unconditional. Philip Yancey wrote, there's nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there's nothing that we can do to make God love us less. God's love is unconditionally. Let us notice also the love of God is sacrificial. He gave. And according to the footnotes in the English Standard Version of the Holy Bible, it's translated, for this is how God loved the world. God gave us his love through Jesus Christ. He loved us by serving and sacrificing. So here we learn something important about the nature of pure love. Now, some people think they love others because of what those people do for them or how they make them feel. But God shows us love has nothing to do with what you can do for me, but everything that I can do for you. Amen. You know, we have the concept if somebody buys us a Christmas present, we ought to buy them one. But God didn't do that. He just gave us his love. And for the reason that we could show and know that he did love us. What a result of God's sacrificial love. Stuart Briscoe illustrated this well when he wrote, as a young banker, he said, we used to use big leather ledgers. And where all accounts were entered by hand. And he said, I remember the day dreaming about those ledgers and God's ledger in heaven. And he told us that those books will be open. And he said, imagine my name, David Stuart Briscoe, and God adding up the total sum of indebtedness against him. In my mind's eye, I saw God take his pen and transfer the sum total of my indebtedness to the account of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? You know what? We can't work out our own salvation. We can't work hard enough to get God to save us. It's through his love. He said, I thought I was finished, but I saw him doing something else. Incredible. He added up the total righteousness of Christ against it and wrote these words, transferred to the account of David Stuart Briscoe. All his righteousness was transferred in. No wonder the songwriter could sing, he paid a debt that he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus went to the cross and showed us love to cancel our debt and fill us with his righteousness. Praise God. What a sacrifice. Thirdly, let us know the love of God is valuable. For God so loved the world, he gave his only. Now here we see the value of the Father's love for us. Not only was he willing to give, but he was willing to give his only one that he had. When you give something to someone out of your abundance, that's one thing. But when you give someone something out of your poverty, that's another thing. And we, you know, if you have several vehicles and you see a family that needs one, it's so nice that you will give them one. But when you only have one vehicle and you see the need that somebody needs that, that's a different kind of love. That's a love coming from the heart that you want to be faithful to God. And so God, in his wonderful plan of salvation, was willing to give his only begotten son that you and I could have full and free salvation. I'm sure many of us have said, we've been showing the tools or something, and somebody says, I would like to have that. And you say, I couldn't give that to you. That's the only one I've got. Have you ever done that? Sure we have. But not with our God. He was willing to give his only begotten son to die on the cross that you and I could have full and free salvation. One version put it this way, to give his one and only one. Let us notice also that God's love is a personable. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God's love is not merely some abstract concept. It's not just a philosophy or a theological construct. God's love was made manifest in the world through the person of Jesus Christ, the only Son of the Father. Jesus came into the world to reveal to us the love of God in human form. A child was once trying to quote John 3:16, and he said, not the only begotten Son, but he said the only forgotten Son. I know the slip of the tongue carried more truth than we would ever admit. For most people in the world today, Jesus Christ is only forgotten. His life is forgotten. His love is forgotten. His sacrifice is forgotten. The story is told of Joe. Joe was a convert of a street outreach mission. Before his conversion, he gained a reputation of being a derelict and dirty wino for whom there was no hope. But following the conversion to Christ, everything changed. Joe became the most caring person at the mission. Anything he was asked to do, he never considered to be beneath him to do it. And whether it was cleaning the toilets or cleaning up after a sick alcoholic, he was willing to do it. Joe had such gratitude in his heart that he wanted to do everything that he could to pay back God for the great love and the change he'd made within his heart. He could be counted on to feed any man who wandered in off the street, undressed and tucked him into bed when he was way too out of it to help himself. And one evening, the pastor of the mission was preaching a little evangelistic message. He said the solemn faces were bowed, but all of a sudden, one gentleman got up and came to the altar, and he started praying out. He wanted God to change his life. And he started shouting, oh, God, make me like Joe. Make me like Joe. Make me like Joe. The director said that he went down to him and said, son, wouldn't it be better if you prayed, make me like Jesus? After thinking about it for a few moments, the man looked up with an inquisitive expression and said, is he like Joe? Is he like Joe? I want you to know something, friends. The world's looking at us. And you and I need to show forth to the world that Jesus loved us. We're not worthy of his love. We can never do anything to pay back the love of God to all of us. But we need to let people know that God has transformed our hearts and life. Help us, Lord, that we can act that people will want to know if we are like Jesus. What a wonderful change. God's love is a personable one. One-handed because it was made manifest through a person of Jesus Christ, but also because it is bestowed upon people just like you and me. Oh, isn't it wonderful what God does in our hearts and lives? You know, as a young boy, I mentioned to you, I had big plans and desires and ambitions. One thing for sure I wasn't going to be was a preacher. I saw Dad pastor. Dad was a successful pastor. We never talked about any church troubles around the table. I didn't know anything about those kind of things, but we didn't have much. We were poor. But I want to tell you something. We have the love of God in our heart and in our life and in our home. What a transformation that makes. Thank the Lord. We notice also that God's love is accessible. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him. Now, the really good news about God's love is it is not limited to a select few. It's not only available to those who were born with the right color or skin or on the correct continent. Nor is it difficult to obtain. It's not reserved for the only intellectual or the power brokers or financial wizards. No, the love of God is accessible. Whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. It's accessible to everyone. Church, we got a big job to do, don't we? Hey, man, you know, I get so excited. I told you the other night, I've sold all kinds of stuff. When I started as a kid, I sold everything. When I got big, I tried to sell a few things. I remember my first church, I didn't get any salary, so I had to make a living some way. And so I sold tire repair. Did I tell you about that? I told Brother John this. I sold tire repair. And you'd go out to a filling station, and you'd bring the people out, and you had a pick, and you'd punch a hole in that tire, and you'd put the plug in the tire, and instantly it would start, as you drove it, it would start blending into that tire. I just tried selling everything. Amen? Well, I want you to know that God's... it is accessible to whosoever believes in the Lord, the only Son of God. So see, I was trying to rebel against those things and not wanting to do what I knew God wanted me to do. But finally, I came to the place that I wanted God more than I wanted anything else. My desires, my wishes, my plans in my life, here it is, Lord. And thank God I did. God's love is accessible to whosoever will may come. From the human perspective, you would compare God to other gods and other religions of the world. You'd have to say that our God is really a little bit different and odd. He used the common people, people that aren't different from any of you that are here. He comes in the most common ways. By his spirit, an anonymous young woman is found to be with child. And the strangest thing is that he comes to all. He's not the above us God, too holy to come down. The God's love is immense that he wants to come down. He has proven that he loves us by the fact that he came down and touched the ground. God has came down to our level, not in the sense that he lessens his holiness or lowers his standards, but only in the sense that he made his love accessible to the average, ordinary people just like you and me. Thank God, our God, his love, are the high society or the lowest of society. God's love is accessible to everyone that will accept him. And we, as I already said, we have a big job, people. There isn't any need in the world that our God can't do. And he wants to help those that we know and those that need his help. Rather, he entered into the world and he longs to enter into our lives. Will you believe in the Son who made the ultimate expression of God's love by giving his life on the cross for your sins? By choosing to believe in him and accept the love of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God. By believing in him, you access the new life that only he can give. I remember my brother next to me was married to a lady by the name of Karen. Karen, this was her story. When she was just a young girl, her and her family went to the United Brethren Church. And back in those days, the United Brethren Church, they taught a whole, they preached a holiness message. Her daddy, in fact, was a Sunday school superintendent, but something happened at the church. Isn't that strange? Huh? Have you ever noticed that there can be something happen in the church? Isn't that strange? You want to know why? It's because people are selfish. It's because they want their way instead of God's way. I'll tell you what, folks. This is not in the message, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. We had better be careful about wanting our way over the side of God's way. You know what? God's a loving God, and sometimes He'll let us have our own way. It won't be the best thing for you, and there may be tragedy at the end of it. And that's exactly what happened in this little story. Her daddy got discouraged and threw up his hands and quit going to church. And for years now, Karen, since she was only about 8 or 9 years of age, had never been to church again because of that. When her and my brother got together, they used to come down and visit us. In fact, my brother lived in Wabash, Indiana. And he would, when mother and dad were living, he'd come down three weekends a month. Come down, see mom and dad, go to church with us. We'd eat dinner together. And Karen would come to church. She loved my mom and daddy. Mom and dad just loved everybody. And especially those that really needed that love. You know, some people are unlovable. But you can still love them. And Karen was a very intelligent lady. In fact, she was a waitress at Honeywell in Wabash, Indiana. The elite restaurant. And she never got her orders mixed up. She was a top-notch waitress. But on this Saturday night, she was taking orders, and she messed up three orders that she'd never, ever done. They called Delbert and said something's wrong with Karen. So Delbert went and picked up Karen and automatically took her to the emergency room. And they discovered that Karen had a tumor on the brain. Inoperable. Karen was going to die. And I remember on Sunday morning we were in revival meeting. I believe in revival meetings, church. Don't quit having revival meetings. The Holy Spirit came. The altar call was given. People were going to the altar. And Dad went back to Karen. He said, Karen, would you like to pray? She said, I would. But I don't think I can go up front. I don't think physically I can go up front. He said, all right. After service, he told me. And I said, Becky and I'll be over. As soon as we feed the evangelist, we'll come over. We went over. And I'll never forget as I walked through the back door into the kitchen. And Karen was sitting here in a recliner. And I pulled up a chair and sat right beside her. I said, Karen, would you like to know Jesus? Would you like for Jesus to save you? Oh, she said, I would. And she started crying. But she said, Mark, you don't know all the things that I have done. How could he save me? All the things that I've done. I said, Karen, that's the reason he went to the cross. The blood of Jesus can wash away all the sins. And I don't want you to tell me what you've done. You don't need to tell me. All you need to do is tell Jesus. And that day, in a broken way, crying and talking to God, God saved her. Amen? My brother, he wasn't a Christian. They went home, they started having their devotions. They started praying in the morning. They started praying in the evening. And she started doing some other kind of treatment. She took one chemo treatment and she said, I don't want any more of that. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm not talking about that. I'm just telling you about her story. And just about 2 or 3 months later, she died. My brother worked for an Amish company up in Bern, Indiana. When I went into that little chapel to preach her funeral, the place was packed. They had to set out extra chairs. I had the blessed privilege of telling them of the unconditional love of Jesus Christ and how that Karen had found Jesus to be her personal Savior. I couldn't tell you how many of her associates that come around and shook my hand and said, I'm glad you told the story. We were wondering about care. God's love is accessible. I don't care where you are in life. God's love is accessible to you. Thank God it is. Let us also know that God's love is non-judgmental. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Should not perish. God's goal in sending His Son from heaven to earth was not to condemn you or show you how bad you are, how unworthy you are, or how hopeless you are. The devil's the one that does that. The devil's the one that does that. Many, many times dealing with people, they begin to break down. And they say, you don't know how I've wasted my life. You don't know how I've tried to serve Jesus. I'm a backslider. I got away from him. I remember a lady and her daughter came to our church. And now she's up in her 70s and she's dying. I went out to visit her. Oh, she's a precious lady. In fact, you wouldn't know she wasn't a Christian. She had that kind of spirit. But I went out to the nursing home and talked to her. And she said, but oh, Brother Mary, you don't understand. You don't understand. When I was a teenager, I got saved, but said I fell away and I've wasted my life. She wasn't a person that got out into deep sin, not at all. But she said, I just don't know how in the world. I said, God doesn't judge you. He wants to help you. And I want to tell you, God helped us, and that lady had an assurance that God had forgiven her. Her daughter said to me, the first time in my life, I heard my mommy pray. I want to tell you, folks, the world out there, a lot of people, they look at God and they think they can never come up to the measure of God. And you can't without God's grace and God's love. He didn't come into the world to rebuke you. He came to rescue you. He didn't come to punish you. He came to pardon you. He didn't come to destroy you. He came to deliver you. However, this does not mean that God is not a God of judgment. For there's a difference, a huge difference between recognizing right and wrong and being judgmental. Being judgmental means that one has a critical spirit that only looks for the bad in people and then quick to condemn them when it's found. God's love wants to restore you. I don't know you people this morning. I don't know where you are spiritually. There may be somebody here this morning that feels as though there's no hope. I've gone too far. And all God wants to do is punish me. It is not true. God wants to save you. Some people have the concept when they're serving Jesus Christ and they make a mistake. They have the concept of God being a God up in heaven with a ball bat just waiting to knock you down. That's not the kind of God that I serve. God is so patient and God is so loving and God is so understanding and God wants to rescue the broken heart and the broken life and change them and make something out of them worth living for. Last but not least, perfect message, 7 points. God's love is beneficial, but that you can have eternal life. More than 50 years ago, John Hopkins University in Baltimore, a young sociology professor, assigned his class to the project of interviewing 200 city youth residing in the downtown slums. He asked them to predict their future. The students predicted that 90% would serve prison time. 25 years later, the same professor asked a class to track down the original boys and discover what had happened. 100 were located, and only 4 had ever been in jail. Why were the predictions so far off? Looking for the common factor, the boys mentioned a strong influence of a teacher they had in common. They located the teacher, 70-year-old Sheila O'Rourke, in a Memphis nursing home. Puzzled by the interest of her, she could only exclaim, "All I ever did was love each one of them." What a power of love. If that is the love, being loved with an imperfect human love, what must be the results of being loved by a perfect divine lover? God loves us. As a result of this teacher loved each one of these boys, they had a life. But as the result of God's love, each one of us can have eternal life. Sister Copeland, I'm going to ask you to come. Play softly at this time, if you will, please, as we close up the message. I remember many, many years ago hearing evangelists tell this illustration about a young man who had quarreled with his father and left home. He continued to keep in touch with his mother and wanted badly to come home for Christmas. But he was afraid his father wouldn't allow him. Finally, there was no time for any more letters. And their mother wrote and said, I will talk with your father. And if he has forgiven you, we'll tie a white cloth in the tree, which is along by the railroad track before you reach the station. If there's no white cloth, it'd be better for you to go on. So the young man started home. As the train drew near his home, he was so nervous. He said to the friend of his that was traveling with him, he said, I just can't bear to look. Sit in my place and look out the window. I'll tell you what the tree looks like, and then you tell me whether there's a white cloth on it or not. So the friend changed places and looked out the window. After a bit, the friend said, oh, yes, I see the tree. The son asked, is there a white cloth tied to it? For a moment, the friend didn't say anything. And then he turned with a quiet, gentle voice and said, there's a white cloth tied to every limb on the tree. And in essence, when God, his son, Jesus Christ, was tied to the cross, he became the white cloth for the whole world. He gave his all because he loves you with an abundant love this morning. A love that's hard to comprehend. A love that's hard to understand. But because Jesus, our Heavenly Father, gave his son Jesus to die on the cross this morning, he loves everyone here, regardless of where you are in the juncture of your life. Regardless where you are, whether you know Jesus Christ or whether you don't know Jesus Christ, he loves you this morning. If you don't know him, he wants you to accept this love within your heart. Let's stand together, bow our heads together. Oh, that great love. That great love that she's talking about this morning. I don't know all of you people here. I don't understand what you're going through in life. I don't know your background. I don't know your problems of life. But I do know one thing. God loves you this morning. God wants to transform your heart and transform your life. And make a new creature out of you. Where the word says, all things pass away, and behold, all things become new. He wants to help you. I wonder, as we tarry for just a moment, if there'd be someone that just say, preacher, that message this morning is just for me. I want to come and accept the love of Christ in my heart this morning hour. Is there anyone like that? You know, I honestly don't think God allowed me to preach this message to waste it. I don't. I believe God knows where you are. I don't think you're here by chance this morning. I think you're here by the providences of God to hear a message about the love of Jesus Christ to you personally this morning. Oh, but I can't do it. I've tried, preacher. Listen, God is a God of second chances this morning. God wants to do something for you in your life right now at the juncture of your life, right where you are. The Holy Spirit came this morning for the express reason that you might have an opportunity to come to Jesus Christ and get everything fixed up within your heart life. God help us this morning. The Holy Spirit's working. Pray, saints. Pray, saints. The Holy Spirit's working. I remember about 35 years ago, on a Sunday evening after I'd preached in our church in Newcastle, Indiana. The Holy Spirit was there. Oh, God was there dealing. A young man about 19 years of age. I went back to him, called him a name. I said, won't you come to Jesus? Now, I want to tell you something. If the Holy Spirit, I don't go to people unless the Holy Spirit asked me to go to them. He wouldn't move. His sister went to him. His dad went to him. His mother went to him. And the Holy Spirit asked me to go back one more time to him. And I did. He didn't come. And to this day, that man has never professed to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. It's important business, folks, this morning. We need to be honest with God. We need to be honest with God this morning. If the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart, won't you turn it over to him? He can transform your heart and life. He can make a new, and he will, if you'll bring it all to him this morning. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. Before I tell you this, I'm going to tell you I'm not trying to trick you. I'm not coming to you. I'm not going to call you out. I want everybody in this audience to bow their heads and close their eyes. Please don't look around. Respect that one that's next to you. We're doing some eternal business this morning. I wonder if there'd be anyone here this morning that just raise your hand. Say, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to my heart. I'd like for you to pray for me. Is there anyone like that this morning? Folks, what we're saying right now is that every one of us in the four walls of this church are ready to go to heaven if something should happen. I want to make sure that you understand that. Are you ready? If you're not, you can be ready. The Holy Spirit knows how to speak to your heart. He wants to show you. He loves you. He cares for you. He's interested in you this morning. Amen. Amen. I'm not trying to put pressure on you. I'm not trying to twist your arm. I want you to come to Jesus because you want a change in your life. You want to go to heaven. You want to go to heaven. Help us this morning, Jesus. Help us this morning, Jesus. Pastor, do you have anything to say? We've tried to preach the truth to you this morning that I felt like the Lord wanted us to give. That's all we can do. We love you. We love you. We want to see you make it to heaven more than anything else. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Give it to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Holy Spirit, help us. The Spirit is trying to help us. The Spirit's moving this morning. He's working upon some hearts. If you just let him have his right away in your heart and life. By the way, you can face the future so much better with Jesus on the inside rather than on the outside. He's the answer this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Father, thank you for your help this morning. We felt your presence, Lord. We can't do it without you, and we thank you that you have come. Lord, we've tried to sow the seed. May the Holy Spirit throughout this day speak, we pray. Lord, it doesn't have to be at this altar. It could be at home. It could be in the pickup truck. It could be somewhere else they could come to know you as their Savior. Lord, the important thing is that they do it. They don't put it off. They come to you. Bless now, we pray, in the mealtime and our fellowship together, and as we gather together tonight for the service. Just come and help us, we pray, one more time. And all that you do for us, we'll praise you and honor you and exalt you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you. You've been a wonderful congregation this morning. God bless you.